Chapter 8. The wind blew strong as we climbed the trail, covering the mesa with sand that sifted around our legs and shut out the sky. Since it was not possible to find our way back, we took shelter among the rocks. We stayed there until night fell. Then the wind lessened and the moon came out, and by its light we reached the village. The huts looked like ghosts in the cold light. As we neared them, I heard a strange sound like that of running feet. I thought that it was a sound made by the wind, but when we came closer, I saw dozens of wild dogs scurrying around through the huts. They ran from us, snarling as they went. The pack must have slunk into the village soon after we left, for it had gorged itself upon the abalone we had not taken. It had gone everywhere searching out food, and Ramo and I had to look hard to find enough for our supper. While we ate beside a small fire, I could hear the dogs on the hill not far away, and through the night their howls came to me on the wind. But when the sun rose and I went out of the hut, the pack trotted off towards its lair, which was at the north side of the island in a large cave. That day we spent gathering food. The wind blew and the waves crashed against the shore so that we could go out on the rocks. I gathered gull eggs on the cliff, and Ramo speared a string of small fish in one of the tide pools. He brought them home, walking proudly with the string over his back. He felt that in this way he had made up for the trouble he had caused. With the seeds I had gathered in the ravine, we had a plentiful meal. Although I had to cook on a flat rock, my bowls were at the bottom of the sea. The wild dogs came again that night, drawn by the scent of fish. They sat on the hill, barking and growling at each other, and I could see the light from the fire shining in their eyes, and at dawn they left. The ocean was calm on this day, and we were able to hunt abalone among the rocks. From the seaweed, we wove a rough basket, which we filled before the sun was overhead. On the way home, carrying the abalone between us, Ramo and I stopped on the cliff. The air was clean, and we could look far out to the sea in the direction the ship had gone. "Will it come back today?" Ramo asked. "It may," I answered him, though I did not think so. "More likely it will come after many suns, for the country where it has gone is far off." Ramo looked at me. His black eyes shone. "I don't care if the ship never comes," he said. "Why did you say this?" I asked him. Ramo thought, making a hole in the earth with the point of his spear. "Why?" I asked again. "Because I like it here with you," he said. "It is more fun than when the others were here. Tomorrow I'm going to where the canoes are hidden and bring back one to Coral Cove. We will use it to fish in and to go looking around the island. There are too heavy for you to put into the water. You will see." Ramo threw out his chest. Around his neck was a string of sea elephant teeth, which someone had left behind. It was much too large for him, and the teeth were broken, but they rattled as he thrust the spear down between us. "You forget that I am the son of Chawig," he said. "I do not forget," I answered, "but you are small son. Someday you will be tall and strong, and then you will be able to handle a big canoe." "I am the son of Chawig," he said again, and as he spoke, his eyes suddenly grew large. "I am the son, and since he is dead, I have taken his place. I am now the chief of Glasset. All my wishes must be obeyed. But first you must become a man, as it is custom, therefore. I will have to whip you with a switch of nettles and then tie you to a red anthill." Ramo grew pale. He had seen the rites of manhood given to our tribe and remembered them. "Quickly," I said, "since there is no man to give the rites, perhaps you will not have to undergo the nettles and the ants, Chief Ramo." "I do not know if this name suits me," he said, smiling. He tossed his spear as at a passing gull. "I think I will I think of something better. I will think of something better. He watched him stride off to get a spear, and a little boy with him, thin arms and legs like sticks, wearing a big string of sea elephant teeth. Now that he had become chief of Gelasset, I would have even more trouble with him. But I wanted him to run. I wanted to run after him and take him in my arms. I have a thought of a name, he said when he came back. What is it? I asked solemnly. Chief Tanyositlopaya. That is a very long name and hard to say. You will learn it, Chief Tanyositlopaya said. I had no thought of letting Chief Tanyositlopaya go alone to the place where the canoes were hidden, but the next morning when I awoke, I found that Rama was not in the hut. He was not outside either, and I knew then that he had gotten up in the dark and left by himself.